each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody, and welcome. Good day to you. Tony, welcome. So I have to tell everybody what happened. Now you know
yes.
What it's like for me.
Yes, I stand corrected.
So usually I'm here in the studio, and I'm ready, and I come in maybe 5 minutes.
Never prepared. Well, no, in calm, sitting, right. waiting for the start of the show,
maybe 5, maybe 10 minutes before, sometimes a little bit earlier, sometimes, and as you all know, Tony flies in, you know, usually he's late.
Mostly he's late.
So today I was in the office, mm-hmm. and I just got detained. I was speaking to somebody in the office, and I knew it was getting close to the time. And so I said, you know, I got to go because I've got to be on the radio in a moment. And so I'm coming down the stairs and into the studio. I could hear that the
music is starting.
That music was starting, right. which means it's 12 o'clock, and I'm not there. But Tony's here, and so he's fretting. He's all bent out of shape and worried and nervous and all that.
Do I leave dead air? Do I make an attempt to try to do something?
Exactly. It's, now you know what it's like.
Do I say hello?
Exactly. No, it's interesting. So, well, how are you?
Great. Yeah. I'm all right. I could be better, but I'm all right.
Yeah, I guess we could all be better. You know, yeah. I'm doing children's confessions this week, so. It's the Christmas confessions in mm-hmm. preparation for Christmas. And so it's, again, as always, you know, I'm a pastor of a parish. I ask myself, why am I on radio?
Why do I do this?
I wish I could develop a show, really develop radio. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things I'd like to do, but I just don't have the, it's just running from one thing to the next. Mm-hmm. And usually you're putting fires out. But so today, you know, it's in the back of my mind, okay, what are we going to talk about today, because yesterday was a very busy day here too. Mm-hmm. I had a funeral, and just, well, it's the parish stuff, you know, it's a very dynamic place. We're dealing with life, you know, and we're dealing with practical realities as well, which is life, right? Life is practical things, but also people in crisis, and people are sick, and people are dying, and people are getting engaged, which is a good thing, mm-hmm. and people are having babies. That's a beautiful thing as well. And I have to say, you know, really with our students, they're good kids. They really are. And I realize, because we're dealing with some issues too, you know, there's, because a big thing, I'm not sure what I want to talk about today. So I just got a lot of things going through my head. And so we're just ad-libbing as we so often
do.
Well,
that's usually a good place to start.
I hope so. But you know, it just, we live in a strange world today because, so one of the things is, you know, people please understand, you know, I don't advocate any kind of bullying or any kind of anything that's going to diminish anybody. You know, mm-hmm. we're about upholding the dignity of others, and, you know, to treat people with respect, no matter who they are. Everybody is to be retreated. You don't have to respect somebody, you know, for their bad behavior. You know, we don't respect bad behavior, but we respect and we uphold the dignity of people, so that even if you're dealing with a person who is, let's just say, difficult, whatever, you know, it's okay, as educators, as I'm an educator, I'm a I'm a priest. I'm an educator. I have to deal with the young people, the children, with adults who are sometimes the biggest children, you know, as my mother would say, and I think every mother says it, and I think everybody's heard it, and everybody knows it, but little children, little problems, big children,
big
problems, you know. But in any case, the thing is, you know, the society is so, can I say, kind of schizoid or kind of hypocritical or whatever. Yeah. You know, all the stuff that's going on in this war, it boggles my mind. Number one, you know, God is not the center of our society. You know, it's just not the case, you know. Mm-hmm. And if God is, well, I'm just going to say that. I'm going to make a flat statement. You know, he may be important to people or individuals, but collectively speaking, as a society, we really don't create space for God. And when we create the space for God, we're so influenced by the secular that the mystery, the sacred, is often shrouded. And that's why one of the things I'll tell you, this is when I pray for the last few weeks, I think it really started with the Ad Orientem when we started facing the East, and even as I incorporated the language of the church into the Mass, Latin parts of the Mass, which I'm going to back away a little bit because some people are a little bit disturbed and they get confused and they can't follow and all that or whatever. Okay, I get it. But at the same time, you know, I don't want to completely abandon this because, first of all, the church says we should be, we don't forget the language of the church. And anyway, all that we've talked about this before, but all the sudden rush to change after the Second Vatican Council that really created within us a lot of bad habits and a lot of certainly a secularization of what is sacred. And so the style of the church or the ambiance of the church or how we present ourselves, how we come. This, again, why does the church reinforce or is trying to bring us to appreciate the need for silence, the time to reflect before you go, the time to reflect. And I remember as a child, you know, you'd go into church and it was always quiet. You know, it was just something very beautiful. You step out, you step from outside, you step into the church, you know, you stepped into a different kind of place. It was really God's house. It was you were on holy ground, and people seemed to understand that. You know, well, that all changed as we got very comfortable, very relaxed, very casual. We live in a very casual society, and it's reflected. You know, it's certainly infiltrated the sacred space of our sanctuary. So part of the thing that I'm trying to do here is, you know, to nurture and create that sense of the sacred. And we've done a lot, and we've made, you know, significant inroads. And I think even the Ad Orientem, facing the East, has been a very good thing. I even at the funeral yesterday, anyway, I'm deviating because I wanted to get to something else. But it's all somewhat related, I think. But the society, going back to the hypocrisy or the schizoid, what would you call it? You know, I see, on one hand, well, let me go, excuse me. So the children, you know, so we're dealing with certain things. We want, you know, our school is a very beautiful school, and it's a very clean school, and it's safe. And we have good educators. We have a good principal. So we're really, it's a good school. I'm very proud of the school, and I'm proud of our kids. They're good kids, and hearing their confessions all week, again, it just enkindles in me this hope, you know, for the future. Now, they got their, you know, everybody's got their, nobody is scathed. Everybody's got issues they're dealing with in their families and their homes, and we're all affected by the society. But one of the things that, you know, it's kind of the big buzzword these days is bully, you know, the bullying. I remember it was funny. We had it was not what we wanted, but when we had the 150th a year ago, around Easter time. It was Divine Mercy Sunday, but the media was here. You know, all these media outlets came and they interviewed, you know, kids in the school, students in the school. And one kid said, "Oh, this is a good school. There's some bullying that goes around here. But, there's some bullying that goes around here."
If I may for a minute,
Go ahead.
What are we talking about bullying?
Well, that's the point. Tell me. Talk to me.
It's a good question because when I remember things like this, when I was a kid, bullying is the guy that was always beating everybody up.
Right. Yeah, the bully.
You know, but I think bullying today means kind of like, in a way, kind of controlling what maybe somebody feels or thinks. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, you don't like a certain kind of people, so I'm going to bully you into...
Well, that's true.
That's
a little bit different from what's happening in the school.
Right, yeah. I've
said that before even to the people here, probably via the radio, but... Right. You know, we can't be bullied into, the renunciation of our faith or not keeping our faith private when our faith is a very public.
This kind of offends me, so I need to bully you into stopping. You know, I don't get what the bully. I think the whole bullying thing is a different.
I don't know that we've actually addressed or the society's addressed that aspect of being bullied. That we, you know, certain activist groups or certain. Groups or groupings of people, in essence, will bully the society into a kind of really pushing them into a corner off the public square because, you know, we stand for something that doesn't conform to their lifestyle or their understanding or their embrace of a certain way of living or be, you know, whatever it might be. And you know, I always go back to the example of Pope John Paul II when, and this would be a form of, I would call this a kind of a bullying. You know, two examples with Pope Francis, with Pope Benedict and the Holy Father, Pope John Paul II. Pope John Paul II went to Belgium and these groups, you know, were there, activist groups. They were burning effigies of the Pope. They sent helium-filled condoms up into the air. All this in the presence of the Pope as their protest. They were protesting the Church's teachings on sexuality and marriage. And the Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, simply said, you know, he was unfazed by it. He just says, you know, you ask me to do what I haven't the authority to do. I don't have the authority to change this stuff. This is these things. This is, he's a servant of Christ. He's the servant of servants. He is the caretaker, the protector of all that has been handed down to us. And so he said, he didn't go into all that, but he just said, I don't have the authority. I don't have the authority to change what's been handed down to us, you know, what is our faith, what is rooted in our living sacred tradition. And so that was one example. Another example would be, because I remember when it happened, I mentioned on the radio, but the Pope Benedict was in Barcelona in Spain, and he was in his procession to the Holy Family Church. It's a huge, beautiful church. It's still not done. I don't know. Don't remember when it was started. But it's anyway. So he was going there for Mass. It was, of course, the papal procession. You know, as it is when the Pope goes to a country. You know, you have people lining the streets and all that. But there was a group that, and they made it known that they were going to have a kiss-off. These were LGBT. This is before they added the other letters, whatever they mean.
Yeah, I was just thinking there's so many other letters there, I don't know.
Right. So this was the LGBT, and they were going to have a kiss-off. So as the Pope's motorcade would go by, they were going to, you know, two men kissing men, women kissing women, making out, right? You know, just a really heavy kissing, you know. They did it purposely as a protest. Well, the Pope, you know, he didn't make any, the motorcade.
What are you doing?
Okay, what are you doing? So it's okay. Do what you got to do. Do what you feel like you got to do. But, you know, he was unaffected by that. He didn't come to address that issue. But it happens in the public square where, you know, where and certainly in Canada, it's just it's atrocious, the stuff that's going on in Canada. You can't even speak in a church. You can't even speak about certain things like, you know, you've got to advocate or support the redefinition of marriage. If you speak against that, then you could go to prison, from what I've understood, you know, from what I understand. So, I mean, they've really taken things to a very, very dangerous extreme. So what happens is that, you know, this is, you know, this is very much the case in the society where we're, and I've said it many times, don't be bullied into a silence, or don't be bullied into believing. This is the thing. Don't be bullied into believing that you are a racist when you're not, or that you're anti, or you're homophobic when you're not, or this and that, you know, because we espouse, we advocate, we support, we honor, we respect, we consecrate, you know, marriage as we've understood it, as we've understood it, as it's been given to us. So don't, just because somebody doesn't support, you know, the marriage of two men or the marriage of two women, don't be bullied into believing that because you don't support that you're homophobic,
right,
or that you hate gays or you hate lesbians. Nothing is farther from the truth. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And this is what's happening in the society. But going back to bringing it down to this.
See, I think this is, again, the thing that comes to my mind is what you've kind of described. But when I think of kids in school, I wonder why one kid would say, well, there's some bullying here. I don't, you know, I'm trying to think, okay, is that a typical, you know, mean kid bullying the little kids or something like that, or if it's just a little of like everything you've pretty much said, which is dangerous in itself, because...
Well, it's a petty, it's just petty things, you know, and so we address that.
Right.
You know,
I once? Is that what...
No, it's little, you know, it's in the mind.
Right.
You see, they got it in their mind. And so it's, you know, somebody called me a dummy.
Right.
So I'm bullied.
I see.
You know? So I'm friends with this. You get two little friends, and one day they're eating together at lunch, and they're the best of friends. And the next day they have a little fight.
Somebody calls somebody a bad name.
Yeah, and so so now all of a sudden, so and so is bullying me. You know. Well, then the next day, they're back at lunch, sitting next to each other,
and they're friends again.
They're best friends again. Well, this is the stuff of life. I mean, these are kids. Jeez.
That's the other little thing I remember. And I think in a sad way, I shouldn't say that in a sad way, but I think I still share that. And the example I have is you use what is now defined today as bullying, maybe for a good thing. Like if somebody is, what's a good example? If somebody, I can't even use an example, where you're not actually, it's not so much as a bullying technique, but you're kind of making known a little flaw or something, so that person gets better at it, you know? Like if somebody is, I don't know, it escapes me of the thing I want to, the example I want to use escapes me, but it's just what's considered as like tough love, you know? It's considered now bullying, or, you know, it's like when a kid, a swat on the behind is now something you don't do.
Well, you do not do that.
Well, yeah, of course.
We don't do that in a school setting.
Sure. But I'm thinking of like my own kid.
Sure.
You know,
sure, yeah.
I've heard things now where kids turn around and, you know, you can't lay a hand on me, from a father to a, you know, a son.
So I know this is going back some years, but this is an example. We have a soup kitchen and a wonderful family. Mm-hmm. Parents are very strict. And when I say very strict, I mean they have boundaries.
Right.
And this was back in the day when, you know, we had a lot of gang banging in the neighborhood, and there was, the neighborhood was violent. There was some violence in the neighborhood. And when there was a gang war, You know, I mean, I remember going to a home to celebrate Mass for a young kid who had died in the streets. And so, you know, the family had, we had had the funeral and all that, and they had a 9-day novena. And then I went to the home to celebrate Mass to pray with the family, 9 days at the end of the novena. And there was a gang war going on in the streets. This is going back many years, because the area has changed quite a bit. But I happened to be, you know, I had to walk several blocks, and it happened to be there was a gang war going on, and you could tell it. I mean, everybody knew. It's like the old West, you know, when the outlaws came in and everybody kind of scatters, right? Yeah. So nobody was in the streets, just me, you know, and they were in gangways and they had their hoodies on and all that, and kids that I knew all of a sudden didn't know me. They were, you know, because I knew who the gangbangers were and all that, and they would come to church, and I have to tell you a story about one. This one, it was so interesting, the group, but they saw a vision in a tree. I should try to tell you. Well, imagine
this would be interesting.
So one evening I was in the church. Well, let me get back to the first of all. So I am going to the home, and I realize, oh, there's a gang war going on, and you know, so they're in the gangways. That's what they call them, the gangways, and on the corners and all that. And so it's one gang waiting for the other. But everything was very, very tense. The air was very, very thick. But I saw people I know, and they didn't know me. You know, it's like all of a sudden they didn't know me. But anyway, so we have a soup kitchen. So you know, this family, very devout Catholics. A good family. I had had Mass in their home because during that time I was having weekly Masses in the homes. We pray the rosary, have Mass, invite people and all that. It was a way to get to know the neighborhood and to pray together and to have what they call convivencia, you know. And so one day I happened to be in the soup kitchen. The parents were strict. They kept their eyes on their kids. They kept the kids off the street, you know. In other words, at 8 o'clock, you're in the house. You're not in the streets, you know. When nighttime comes, that's when bad things happen. And so I saw this gentleman, the father, in the soup kitchen. He was working. I said, "Oh, you know, that was nice. You're working in the soup kitchen. You're volunteering your time." He's a working man. He says, "No." He says, "Father." He says, "My daughter called the police because I went out." She wouldn't come in to the house. And so I went, I took her, I basically dragged her back into the house. I took her by the arm and says, you're coming home. You're not going to be in the streets. And she, because the school taught her, you know, she called the police.
Right.
And so the police came and the father had to do community service.
Now, see, to me, that's the kid bullying the parent.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Exactly. But that's kind of how things have gotten
turned around.
So speaking to these children, you know, what happens is a kid goes home and says to mom or dad, so-and-so bullied me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then we're a bully in school, or, you know, we got bullies. What are you doing about how are you, you know, we want this. Well, ours is a very safe environment. So we meet with the parents to say, you know, what constitutes, what are we talking about? What happened? What was said? What was done? And as I'm listening to all this, I realize this is just, you know, very petty stuff. Little stuff, and I mean, you know, so I'm dealing
these with are kids. Adults,
yeah, right? Yeah,
dealing with pettiness,
right?
Well, or an adult
well,
to a child.
The kids have it in their head because they're getting it from everywhere,
right?
And of course, the schools are all everybody's trying to, you know, resolve the issue of bullying.
Mm-hmm.
But again, how do you define what is a bully?
Right.
You know, and there's always going to be a bully.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, if you're doing, so we don't want anybody calling anybody names. We want everybody to play fair. We want everybody to...
Everybody wins.
but everybody does not win.
Exactly.
And so I'm not an advocate of everybody wins. No,
right.
And that's just it. You know, accept the reality that, you know, if you apply yourself, you make good grades, then, of course, you're rewarded with that good grade.
Right. Well, Father, that you're being a bully because you know what? Everybody does win.
It's funny. I mean, gosh, we used to get spanked in school.
See, that's what I meant when I was saying.
And I'm not advocating.
No,
that. Don't get me wrong, but
this is the things I remember. And like I said, as a kid now, I don't know how people get so. Everybody's offended about something. Kids,
right.
Yelled at kids, called people names, and then they get together and be friends again.
Yeah. No, well, that's the thing. And so I'm listening to these stories.
Yeah.
Yes, today so-and-so bullied me. Tomorrow we're sitting together at lunch. We're the best friends. You know, we've reconciled. We made up. Yeah. Well, this is the stuff that, you know, this is part of growing up, I think. You know, it's just how we define it and how the society puts in the heads of these people. I mean, anyway, it challenged me. Let's see what is... Nick said he was bullied too. Who was not? Who wasn't bullied? You know
exactly.
And some of us bullied. You know, I think in some ways or not.
I've been guilty of that. I'm still being accused of that today.
No, we used to get paddled, and you didn't even tell.
Why?
Come
on.
You did not. I did not want my parents to know that I got spanked in school. We would, you know, in those days you could. And I'm not advocating. I'm not saying that we should do that, but.
Because people do get carried away even
sure
with that.
Do. Sure, and there is bullying and there is abuse and all that kind of stuff. With, you know, so that's, but anyway, real quick before the break, I want to tell you about these game bangers. So one evening I was in the church. This is, again, going many years back here. And this is before the church was open 24/7, but it happened to be open that evening because I think we were maybe in a novena or something, but I was alone in the church and I was kind of, I was putting things together or whatever. I don't remember. But these gangbangers, somebody came up and they said, Father, there's the gangbangers are in the back of the church. You know, they're all sitting in the back of the church. So I see, they're back there. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a group of them. And I know who they are. You know, and I know, I see when the light goes out of their eyes, you know, because I know them when they're little kids and then they all of a sudden they grew up and they were getting to the gangs. I knew exactly when they made that transition because you can see it in their eyes. And so these tough kids are back there. And then little by little, they moved up to the front to Our Lady of Guadalupe. And they're all, they're all kneeling in prayer, you know.
Wow.
So I thought, well, this is a kind of a curious thing.
What's going on here?
Exactly. So I walked over to them and I says, hi, guys. And they said, Father, you know what? They said, we saw the Virgin Mary in the tree in the park. I said, you did? They said, yes, we saw the Virgin Mary in the tree in the park. And they became these very docile, innocent, but they were, you know, tough. They dressed tough and all that. So I said, well, let's go. We'll go to the park. They wanted to show me. They wanted to show me where. And so we went to the park. This is right across the street from the church.
Right.
And they're pointing to the tree, and they say, you see, Father, can you see that? I said, no. I don't know. I'm looking, trying to see. But they could all see actually an image in the tree of the Blessed Virgin Mary. I never saw it, but they did. They were all convinced they did it. And they were very sincere. And it brought them to their knees, you know? So anyway, I just remember. I always remember that story because I thought it was kind of cute. And I thought, well, you know, maybe Our Lady is trying to tell you. Yeah, she's trying to tell you something. You know, what needs to get right with your life? How do you need to get what need you do? what must you do to get your lives right? You know, because I didn't mince words with the gangbangers at all, because I knew them and they did. They had a respect. Only once did I get the back window of my car bashed in because of something I had said. But that was the only thing. That was the worst thing that happened to me. But for the most part, they were, and even to this day, many come back because they've all moved out of the area, but many come back and they'll remind me, you know, when I was a gangbanger or whatever, and, you know, I kept the door open for them, you know. So, but anyway, it was... But boy, how things have changed. We'll take a break. We'll come back. But the other thing I wanted to mention, along with this bullying, is this sexual harassment. What's going on?
I mean, that's just another one.
And again, I have to be careful to say this because you know there's no justification for sexual harassment. But the hypocrisy in the society. You know, so on one hand, you know, we're if you watch even primetime television, mm-hmm. I don't have television, but when I go home to visit my mother, we sit and we watch a TV, and I'm embarrassed to sit down and watch some TV with her because I say, what's that doing on the television? Primetime television, the stuff that they show. But, you know, movies, we all know what's, you know, the language, the soft porn, it mm-hmm. seems to me, you know. It's there. And so is this not going to be reflected in the society we live in? It's so schizoid, so hypocritical. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Anyway, let's take a break. We'll be right back. And I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, Adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Welcome to a St. Nicholas Minute. When did St. Nicholas begin delivering gifts on Christmas Eve? Well, sadly, by the end of the 18th century and the first part of the 19th century, people more and more forgot why we celebrate Christmas. So one day some folks invited me to deliver gifts on Christmas Eve instead of St. Nicholas Eve in early December. You can imagine my joy, the birthday of Jesus, what an honor! But it was then that they took away my bishop's vestments and dressed me like an elf. Talk about an extreme makeover! That's why on Christmas Eve of 1822, Dr. Clement Moore wrote down what he saw. He said he saw a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. Why, you ask, did he have doubts in his mind whether it was St. Nicholas or not? Well, he knew I was a bishop. He was shocked to see me dressed like an elf. But no matter how I'm dressed, my spirit is still the same. I'm filled with the joy that flows from the Christmas proclamation, Christ is born. Glorify him.
Every first Friday, Jeff Hammond sits in to host Winds of Change to talk about the First Friday devotion. Jeff is the section representative of the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Jeff will share the history, tradition, and prayers of the First Friday devotion. First Fridays at noon on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So we're just talking.
just talking
about what's going on in the world today. And, you know, this whole idea of bullying, you know, in no way do I advocate. And I just think, you know, we want to nip it wherever we find it. But, but how do you define it? And what is, you know, just.
And so that's the thing, too. You said it, Father. How do you define it? That definition changes almost every day. I mean, you know, I can't grasp that.
I don't know what to say. I think certainly that when we no longer have Judeo-Christian values and principles, when we're no longer grounded in the Word of God, have no regard for the commandments of God, when we don't understand that, you know, God first, and mm-hmm. from there, you know, we have a proper respect for marriage and for family and for each other, for women, for men, you know, that this is, there's always been, you know, again, you go back and you watch movies, even the old movies, and mm-hmm. it was always the catch, right, you know, A man is attracted to woman, woman is attracted to man, you know, how do they court, how do they come into this relationship, you know, but today everything is so so out there. And of course, and again, going back to the hypocrisy and the this kind of schizoid way of thinking or behaving, even, you know, and I've heard it said, and I think so too, women deserve, absolutely deserve to be respected. Men deserve to be respected. Boundaries have to be defined. We have to know what is proper, what is improper, how to behave, how not to behave, what it is to be a gentleman, what it is to be dignified and noble, what it is to uphold the dignity of another, the dignity of a woman, the dignity of a man. But with the kind of crude behavior and crude language and the way we dress today too, you know, I was talking about how casual, but not only casual, how seductive so much of dress is today too, you know. Then what do you what signals are you sending out there? Again, I'm just wrestling with on one hand, all of a sudden this this very puritanical approach to a society that has basically worships the body, has created a sex-saturated society with images everywhere, innuendos, every, you know, it's just there. I mean, I feel for the kids. How do they?
If you look at it, though, the kids now are the ones with the way of, how do you understand this? You have adults saying one thing, and like you said, doing something else. You also, it was interesting when you were saying all of this, where are we learning then the right and wrong if God is such a horrible figure in society?
Yeah, so,
where are we learning this then?
Who is or what is,
right, what is your teacher? What is your God?
What is our God? And, you know, I've said it so often, we're breeding narcissism. We're very selfish, very self-centered. Again, the whole, you know, it flows over into all aspects of society. My rights, mm-hmm. rights. I'll just give you an example. I mean, this is, I've heard people talk, and I wonder too, you know, where are the radical feminists who were, you know, I remember when I was a student in college, you know, this was the real beginning of, or it was, we were well into it, but by that time you had you couldn't say, you couldn't say, what is it, man, you had to say man and, you know,
yeah,
everything was, there was this super sensitivity.
Right.
Even to the point I've mentioned here before that even in within the church, in some circles of, of the church at the universities and all that, there was this movement which Pope John Paul II, you know, squelched. But this, you know, we're going to obliterate or delete, you know, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and it's going to be, you know, we say in the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sanctifier, because to say in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you're neglecting women,
right?
You know, it's patriarchal, or it's all about man, you know,
that's
father,
when it became
the son.
Person, not man, woman, it's person.
Right.
Mankind, womankind. Whereas
today now, you know, the whole thing with, are you a man, are you a woman, are you an it, are you, what are you? You know, you decide what you want to be.
We've defined everything or tried to define.
Crazy
so now we're walking around in circles.
But going back to the whole feminist movement, you know, what do they say? You can't have your cake and eat it too, or whatever. I don't know if this relates, but
I think that's what people are waking up to discover today in this day.
Evidently, age. But you know what? Where are the voices when it comes to the Islamic approach, at least radical Islamic approach to women and to homosexuals and all this? Where is the outcry to this? Or or where, you know, you go back to the whole saga with President Bill Clinton.
Right.
And where were the feminists, you know? Where was everybody then? Well, they've all, everybody, you know, the whole society is somehow all of a sudden, now we understand, and everybody's getting kind of caught, yeah. You know, whatever. But then too, you know, I'm beginning to hear some of these stories. Yeah, some of it is outrageous. It's just crazy. It's unbelievable, really unbelievable. It's believable, but it's unbelievable that people would stoop or that they would be so unscrupulous about. You know what I'm talking. I hate to go. I don't want to even go into the details of this stuff, but the Weinstein or the whomever it might be.
And see, this is for me. I am not shocked. I mean, some people are shocked. It's funny because I talk to different people. I've been doing that a lot lately, just listening to what people say, and you'd be amazed how some people say one thing, and then some people are offended this way. And I think to myself, this is not offending. This is something that's been going on for so long. My question now is, why? Why is it now coming out? I mean, people have known. This is like the inside stuff that people knew for years now. And then you hear, and believe it or not, in the middle of this, and I do have mercy or pity, because there are, in the middle of this, real stories of people that have been damaged.
Victims,
but then there's
real
other,
victims, sure.
Yeah, real victims. But then there's other things that are so outrageous that have just been passed, like in a sense, the can has been kicked on and kicked on. People knew it and they just accepted this. That to me comes to a sense of we don't know what's right and wrong anymore. And that's, if anybody doesn't understand this at this point, it's pure and obvious now. It seems like it's being accepted. So it's like, okay, well, we can't say this or do this, but we have to accept this because, well, we're bullied into doing it. So it's the bullying.
Well, but the whole standard of behavior, you know, sense, and you know, it. Whereas certain things were proper, certain things were improper. You don't say certain words. You don't. You don't create. I don't know what I'm trying to say. It's. We don't have a. Our moral compass is somehow disappeared because what we don't value Judeo-Christianity. Mm-hmm. We don't value these laws of God and the proper. And when I say proper, people will go to the Old Testament to make reference to this or that or whatever. No, we look at everything from the perspective or our point of reference, our personal reference is Jesus Christ and the teachings of Jesus Christ and the whole Bible and its totality and the church's teachings as it's developed deepened over the centuries, which really basically gives us the boundaries within which to live an ordered life, a life that does advocate dignity, respect, the care for each other, care for the poor. Sensitivity to the innocence of children, and how to form children to be good citizens of the land. Now, what happened, as we see clearly in over the years, over the decades in television and in the cinema, is the complete and outright deterioration of any mores, you know, any kind of morality, any kind of. I mean, there may be some good storylines here and there, but to get to that story, you know, there's such an exposition of vulgarity and what was socially unacceptable has become not only socially acceptable, but almost lauded as great virtue, you know, which is bizarre. It's bizarre. So when we imitate what we see, we reflect what we're subjected to on the television, in the media. I mean, the whole redefinition of marriage and the acceptance of homosexuality as a norm, so much so that young people, we toy with their psychosexual development, but the media has gone way overboard in trying to, in a sense, glamorize this. Yes, I understand and I agree that there shouldn't be this kind of discrimination or this diminishing the human person, but compassion and understanding for people wherever they may be, whatever they're struggling with, whatever conflict or whatever disorder they may find in their lives, whether it be homosexual, whether it be heterosexual, whether it be whatever. And
that's the stuff that's not being taught. And that, to me, is the key to everything.
So what's happened is there's basically a green light has been given.
Do whatever you want.
And so where are the parameters? Where are the boundaries? You know, even so much, I know we got to take a break, but taking it away from the realm of sexuality. So now what's popping up are these people who say, I just was listening to something the other day, a gentleman who claims he's Filipino, because he's not, he's clearly Anglo, but
he feels that.
But
way
he feels Filipino, and so he wants to be accepted as and identify himself as a Filipino. You know, if I am not African American, but if I feel that I am African American, then you have to expect that, respect that, and treat me as such. Right. You know, so where does this where does it stop? What's the limit? The marriage of two men, the marriage of two women. Okay, society has seemingly accepted this, put it in the law. So where does that stop? Because now you're hearing of a mother who marries her daughter, or a mother who marries her son, or a man who's going to marry three women, right? Mm-hmm. Where do you stop? Where does that stop? You know,
it doesn't. You have to respect everything goes,
because we don't have a common ground, mm-hmm. which was for forever. You know, Judeo-Christian. You know, which was, and again, I go back to what Scripture says. This is written into your hearts. This is written into our DNA. And so we know, and maybe that's why there has to be this very extreme kind of radical, almost violent bullying, you know, that we have to be bullied into accepting, embracing, celebrating. We got to celebrate this. And we're saying we can't. But that doesn't mean we are homophobic or racist or misogynist. Not misogynist. What's there's all those words, right. You know.
You can add them all.
Whatever, you know. So,
right.
We have a standard. We have a ground. We have a moral compass that you know, keeps us within these boundaries. But at the same time, within that, you know, that we are a compassionate and a loving people, and we respect people. But that, you know, but when I have to celebrate something that is really contrary to what we believe is a necessary good for the proper ordering of society in the present and well into the future, then, you know, certainly there's going to be those who are kind of bohemian. This gets into another whole thing. You know, it's nice to have creativity, and I consider there's a part of myself that is somewhat bohemian, if that makes any sense. But I'm very much bound to the law. So I don't know. I might be just rambling, but I think the better thing is we take a break right now. Is that right, Nick? We'll do that, and we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
The Spirit of Advent with Father Dominic Legge.
The Church's season of Advent commemorates two comings of Christ, first as a little child in Bethlehem, and second as a king at the end of time who will come to judge the living and the dead. Now, we might think that that's a kind of frightening thing to meditate on, the coming of Christ in the last judgment, but it actually can be very consoling. Jesus will come again to reestablish true justice for all time. And so we can ask Christ to come into all of the places where there is injustice and suffering. Let's ask this Advent for Christ to be our King, the King of my life, the King of my family, to reign over our country and over our world, to establish justice and to bring true peace. What a great gift we can receive this Advent.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule, work, or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the Sacrament of Reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, two blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So I don't know whether we're all over the place today, but it's just it's a crazy world we live in, that's for sure. And I think that the I long for the sacred, you know, that we, and that's why I think, you know, what do they say? You know, as you pray, so you believe, and as you believe, so you live. And you know, it's interesting. I was about a month ago, I think, it was downloading some synagogue services, because I'm interested in how do the Jews worship, and I've been to synagogues before and all that, but I was just, every so often I want to see, because, you know, I've been working on this here, because I do think really, really, really bad habits crept into Catholic worship that really obscures the essence of our worship of God, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and that, you know, we come away from the mundane into the sacred. And so there was this whole attempt in the 60s and the 70s as society was going through some very dramatic changes, the whole sexual revolution, the beginning of radical secularization. And so we're going to befriend this, we're going to wed this to the church. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And so we brought all this into the sacred liturgy, the sacred mysteries of the faith, and something was lost, and so we're all into, you know, we look at each other, we're the body of Christ, we celebrate, you know, we've kind of, it's almost as if a kind of self-worship, we're going to worship the sacred assembly, when in fact the sacred assembly gathers in order to worship God and to offer themselves to God in gratitude. So I was looking at these synagogue services, and wouldn't you know it, the same thing, same thing, that the, you know, you expect you're going to find the tradition and the solemnity and just something that speaks to you of the rich tradition, a sacred tradition that is enduring, that is timeless, and yet the same stuff, the mixing, and we're talking about liberal, certainly liberal congregations. So you've got, in the church, you've got the, I hate to use the word conservative liberal, but orthodox, unorthodox, sacred, the secular, you know, trying to separate one from another, in a sense, or, you know, to try to, with effort, to wed those together. But it what suffers always is the sacred. The sacred is diminished. And so we become very casual and, you know, and all this. But I saw that in the synagogues, the same thing. They're dealing with the same stuff. Stuff, you know, stuff is just what mm-hmm. that word stuff, the same things, where they radicalize, or they it's all about social justice and make sure that the women have their proper place, so that it's not going to, men aren't going to overshadow the women, and the music is, you know, something people can relate to. So it becomes a form of entertaining. How we're going to entertain? How we're going to make this something other than a boring experience for these? You know what I'm saying? It's just mm-hmm. it's craziness. Really, it is. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I don't know, but it's all kind of related. I think, you know, it's all because we're being driven by mm-hmm. a narrative that that has this allergic reaction to religion and yeah. to sacred worship. And maybe part of it is that I don't know. I'm wrestling with this. Christmas, you know, mm-hmm. we're in the season. We're almost in the season of Christmas, so we're in Advent. We're moving towards Christmas. So every so often, I'll listen when I'm in the car. They've got the station on that has only Christmas music. Mm-hmm. I have to turn it off. This is talk about the secularization. I mean, every so often I'll have a religious. A hymn. Christmas carols are so beautiful. The religious are so beautiful. It's just something that is made in heaven, you know. Oh, holy night, silent night.
Those are the things you don't hear that much.
No,
on the radio.
No, you don't.
That's why I can't. I'm very particular when it comes to Christmas music. There's only a few things that I like, and that's it. I can't listen to an all day station like that because it's always the garbage.
It's garbage.
I hate to say it. It's songs about Christmas. It's not Christmas songs.
Can't they change it? I mean, every year it's the same thing. And I'm talking about a specific station, the only one that has 24/7.
Yeah.
And I'm saying it's the same stuff every year. And mm-hmm. I'm just, you get bored with it. But you know, bring in some Christmas carols. Oh, Holy Night is one that they bring in every so often. It is very beautiful, very beautiful. What child is this?
The real.
They don't. You don't hear these
because
things.
It's,
you know?
It's all. I hate to say it. It's all an agenda, and it's all what people tend to like. I don't think people really. People like the goofy stuff, the non-Christmas, the grandma got run over by a reindeer stuff. I can't hear that song.
I know exactly.
I've heard it so many times. Certain songs have a longevity. You can hear over and over again, but these other ones are just. Classic, you know, garbage.
All we did was talk today, you know.
Well, it's good. You need to get it out.
Just talking because we're at the end of the show. But it's true. And it's just, I think it's all kind of related. Mm-hmm. We're being driven. We've got to reground ourselves. We've got to be rooted in the sacred. We've got to come back home to God mm-hmm. as he's revealed himself through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all culminating in the incarnation. Christ, God among us, who took mm-hmm. on our flesh to elevate us, to lift us up, to bring his divinity into our lives. We seem to want to reject that divinity.
That's it.
You know, which is a rejection of our true selves. All right, everybody. Thanks for staying with us. Thanks for being with us. And we will be back tomorrow. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
To say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell of strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now.